Talk.
It's coming up for 21 minutes to 11 o'clock. It's an all too familiar feeling. We're midway through the year, and particularly if you are the parent of young children, medical aid savings is gone. Weg. It's done. It's dry. It's gone. You're, of course, not the only one. Something that many people experience, particularly as cold and flu seasons hit during winter. But what happens if your medical savings are depleted halfway through the year? What interventions can you take? What happens when the medical aid MSA runs out? And how does one make the medical aid savings account last? But first, I want to get a perspective from Manini Mulatseri, who is a senior researcher for the Council of Medical Schemes. Manini, thanks so much for joining us. What is the average? Let's say we're a family of four, two parents, two children. We're on a singular medical aid savings account with a large medical aid provider. On average in South Africa, how long does a MSA last before you're running on empty?
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. I think that that is a very, very interesting question you pose. And I can't give you an exact figure, but you should be aware that about 25% of your total monthly contributions will be reinvested for your medical savings account. Mm. So for a family of four, they would need to sit down and see how much are they contributing per month. And that would be the 25% that's reinvested. And depending on their day-to-day needs, medical needs, that might be depleted quite quickly, especially if you have young children, like you mentioned. Yes. So certainly you can see it get depleted within a few months of the year, especially if you are utilizing those day-to-day benefits quite extensively.
Have we seen a change in the patterns between this year, 2022, and let's say the last 2 years? Just anecdotally and from the experience of my family, during a time of lockdown, my kids were not exposed to the boogers and the germs of a school. We were relatively healthy and we managed our MSA quite responsibly. This year, though, and as the pediatricians say, we're seeing bugs upon bugs and upon bugs. We're seeing a lot of our MSA already depleted. Have you seen, in terms of the data that's coming, a difference between what people are claiming in their daily benefits this year compared to the last 2 years?
Absolutely. So like you mentioned, as the economy opened up, all those, you know, flus and buggers have you know, come into full swing. So as long as you are utilizing those day-to-day benefits extensively, then you're definitely going to see your MSA get depleted sooner. And we definitely are seeing a pickup in utilization of healthcare services across the board. And then, of course, that also applies to those day-to-day benefits. So we've certainly seen a big jump compared to the COVID times in terms of utilization of services.
I wonder if we've seen, Manini, people and families and maybe even older people having to decide and maybe pay out of their pocket for maybe a singular doctor's consult, and then maybe, you know, get the medication out of the MSA. What's the data telling us on how people are largely paying for their medical bills?
Okay, so I think in terms of your question, the one thing that your viewers need to be aware of is if they have a chronic condition or a prescribed minimum benefit, and they can check this out on the Council for Medical Schemes website, then they need to ensure that they register with the appropriate programs in their medical scheme to ensure that consultations and medication are fully covered. So the Medical Schemes Act prescribes that there are certain chronic conditions and conditions that should be fully covered by your medical scheme and should not be paid from your medical savings account. So the public needs to definitely be aware of this. And they also need to be aware of networks and designated service providers. And basically what I mean by that is that they need to ensure that they use designated service providers when they utilize a pharmacy or a healthcare provider or a hospital, because these designated service providers have negotiated with schemes for favorable rates. So you're less likely to pay out of pocket if you utilize these service providers. So I think the gist of it is just that members need to make sure they understand their benefit entitlement, they understand prescribed medical benefits, and they understand DSP providers and networks to ensure that they are not susceptible to these out-of-pocket payments.
Maneni Mulatedi, she's a senior researcher at the Council for Medical Schemes. A messenger from Anne: one doctor's visit plus some meds from the chemist equals around R1,000. MSA does not last long. Another messenger says, I used the last of my medical aid savings for this year yesterday. I was at the dentist. Jill Larkin is the head of GTC Healthcare, provides consultancy and strategic management within the healthcare and medical aid industry. Jill, in terms of some of the feedback that you are getting on how, particularly this year, people's MSAs are being depleted a little bit more quicker than the last 2 years. Because as I said, we've been indoors, we've been largely insulated from the bugs and the germs, ironically, during the pandemic. What are you seeing from your side on how people are coping this year?
Hello, Lisa, and thank you. Thank you for the invitation to share some of our insights and provide some guidance on this issue. So I think I want to, if you don't mind, I want to take you back a step or two. Just to remind everybody that medical aids come in different levels. And although most members are on a savings type of plan, and literally by counting the numbers, most members are on a savings type of plan, as opposed to a core plan, which is hospital only, or, and I think this is one we haven't yet considered, is a comprehensive plan, which is a savings account plus an additional account to pay for out-of-hospital expenses for those families specifically who have high claiming ratios. So before I answer your question, I just want to make sure that our members are aware that they have the option to choose not only a hospital-only plan, but a savings account or this additional comprehensive account. Understanding, obviously, the higher up the rung you go, the more you're going to pay in premium. But at the end of the day, it may open up to you the second savings account, which is often referred to as the above threshold benefit, which often offers unlimited additional cover for members out of hospital who have high claiming ratios. So let's not forget that type of a plan. So am I seeing, go back to your question now, am I seeing a big difference in the amount of claims that members are giving us this year as opposed to the last couple of years? Let's have a look at what happened in the last couple of years. Members didn't really get to use their savings or their medical aids as much as what they should have or could have. And I say that in both should and could, because perhaps something should have happened to you which you couldn't have done because the doctors weren't allowed to see you, and therefore you didn't spend quite as much as what you thought you would. So those people, those medical schemes didn't pay out quite as much as what they thought they would, remembering that they have a look at everything on an annual basis and put your premium, or set your premium based on what they think you're going to pay, what they think they're going to pay on your behalf for that particular year. And you will remember that over the last couple of years, many medical aids have delayed increases or not increased their premium because they've had this extra amount in the pot, if I can call it that, within the medical scheme itself. So are we seeing differences this year? Not yet. We haven't seen a huge increase yet. We haven't seen it reach pre-pandemic levels, although it is on its way up there. Mm. If we have a look at the numbers which are being produced by the medical schemes and released to us, so it is definitely on its way back. I haven't seen any information that it has reached pre-pandemic levels yet. So your main question, if we can go back then, what can we do?
Well, before we get to that, and there's some questions that have come through from listeners as well, and without the macro data, we would be difficult to get to sketch this particular picture, but maybe from an anecdotal point of view, how long, and I asked Manini this, and it was a little bit unfair because you need the macro data, but how long are we seeing MSAs last for the average size families in a year?
Once again, it's that piece of string answer that I can give you. How long is a piece of string? Because some families are very healthy and they really don't claim, and therefore their medical savings rolls over year on year. Whereas other families generally do use their savings account, and we do see a lot of them reaching zero. Some of them as early as March, and others probably more like September, October. But it really does depend on the health of your family during that year. You will remember that in some years you hardly touched your savings account, whereas on other years, especially if you have younger children, you do seem to go through your savings account a lot faster.
And so let's get into the practicalities, Jan. A lot of the stream of questions asking, is it then best to pay as much out of pocket for the doctor's consult? And yes, we know the 400, 500, 600 rand consults gets very, very expensive, especially if you also look at maybe at pediatricians, can go up to the 900s, thousands of rands. And the question here is it best to pay out of pocket as much as possible till you reach a point in the year where you say, okay, I'm going to rely on the MSA now?
Honestly, Lester, I would say it's best to use the prepaid vouchers. Prepaid vouchers are available from some medical schemes, one in particular, our biggest open medical scheme. They will give you a voucher to go to a network doctor and get medicines from that doctor for 300 Rand. You can buy a voucher for 300 Rand to go and see the doctor and get medicine from him. That's nowhere near the 1,000 Rand which your listeners are throwing around.
What's the coverage? What's the coverage of that? Because you build a personal, you know, family relationship with your particular house doctor. How are you then certain that the voucher system covers the doctor of your choice?
Well, let's just remember that all our doctors go through the same training regime. All of them go through the public system. All of them get their training in the same place. They're all qualified within South Africa, and they're all registered within South Africa. Just because you've got a relationship with your doctor doesn't mean he's giving you any better a medication than any. I mean, I know I personally wouldn't want to change doctors, so I know where your question's coming from.
Yeah.
Seriously. But all the doctors have the same type of qualifications. So just because this doctor is on a specific network with one of our medical aids, and I mean, that's not the only one that provides it. I mean, others provide that type of benefit. And there's even primary care products which provide that type of benefit network, including medicines, etc. There are so many ways that you can look at it. So initially your question was, should we be paying up front? I don't think that's the solution necessarily, although doctors generally do give you a discount if they don't have to wait for payment from somebody. So they would give you an upfront discount. But you could still do that anyway before you submitted your claim to your medical savings.
Jill, another question here. What a statement, I'll phrase it as a question. Lester, an alternative to medical savings accounts are medical loans through companies like Medifin. Your thoughts on that, Jill?
I'm a financial advisor by trade. I am not going to promote members going to get a loan to cover medical expenses, because you never know if the medical procedure you're going for is going to be successful and you're going to be able to go back to work to pay back this loan to start off with. That brings with it a whole different kettle of fish, if we can call it that. I am much more prone to suggesting that members prepare for this. Rather be proactive and, if necessary, put more money into a health wallet or buy these prepaid vouchers ahead of time. You don't have to only buy them when you need them. And that way, build up your own savings, additional savings outside of your medical scheme. Like people, for example, who have a hospital plan probably do for themselves. You know, build up
I have a friend who calls it an F-up fund. So along with it's mainly for a dog. And, you know, you also get pet medical aid now. But I said the F-up fund is literally a few hundred rand every month in another account, which I use for that. But
I love it.
Please ask Lester, why are we not allowed to top up our MSAs? Thanks so much.
Okay, so remember, you choose different levels of medical aid, and different levels of medical aid have different percentages that go into the savings account. So you'll remember Ms. Manini said that 25% goes into your savings account. That is the maximum which is allowed. Not all medical aids put 25% of your contribution into your savings account. But if you have had up to 25% in your savings account, the Medical Schemes Act says you may not have more than 25% in your medical savings account. Now, I was around in the era when you were allowed to have more, and I must say that it was abused because it was at that point allowed as a tax deduction, and members were putting additional monies into the savings account rather than paying tax on that money, and therefore, as I can say, buggered it up for everybody else. That's literally what happened. So all the rules were brought in and those were changed, and now you can't have more than 25% in your medical savings account. But once again, I sound like an infomercial, but once again, you can put additional money into an additional savings account. You don't have to use the medical aid for that. Being a financial advisor, I'm going to tell you there are many other options available for you to put that money into.
You can start your own F-up fund. But let's go to a quick voice note now, 072-567-1567.
Essentially, all medical aids, whether you got an MSA or not, is a hospital plan. The MSA is your money that's been taken, spread out throughout the year, so it's deducted or included in your monthly payment. But you can take that money and you can spend it all in January, your MSA, or you can spend it out throughout the year. But the fact of the matter, it's your money and you're not earning any interest on that money. There's no benefit to it. So whether you pay from your MSA account or whether you pay from your own bank account, there is actually no difference. It's just that you have access to your year upfront MSA at the beginning of the year. So all medical schemes are hospital plans. And an MSA is just like a cute little you think you're saving thing.
Yeah, it's there in the background. It is there. And it's built into your own sort of eventualities and your own budgets as well. I don't know whether I'm going to be sick January, February, up until March, but through April, June, July, you know, it's me and my wife and the two kids and the other relatives who may be on the medical aid account as well. You could deplete it by then already in 3 short months.
So I'm going to just mention 2 little things here. First of all, interest is earned on your savings account. So if you do have a policy balance, you do earn interest, although it is very small. But remember, our interest rates aren't very high at the moment in any case. The second thing, that if we didn't have a savings account, for those plans that have a comprehensive element to them, so that is when you run out of savings and you then go through your self-payment gap into your second savings account or that above-threshold benefit, we wouldn't really know when you're going to reach that level if you didn't have the savings account to measure it by in the first place. And then some people really don't have the discipline to put that money away for themselves, and they really do need the assistance of the medical aid to do that for them. So, yeah, there are a few issues. That voice note was great to hear, and thank you very much for that. But there are a few issues which come in over and above just the straightforward hospital plan.
It's probably another how long is a piece of string question here from Johan and Paul. But please ask your gift, if there is an estimate you could use for a family of 5 to have available on an annual basis to be self-funded in terms of out-of-hospital expenses. How much should you be putting aside every month as a just-in-case?
Geez, I really can't answer that question. Is this a healthy family? Is this an unhealthy family? Do they have chronic ailments, etc.? There's so many questions. I would say, and I'm going to just thumbs up this because of experience, in my own instance, I would say if you had 1,000 Rand a month in a savings account, so 12,000 Rand for the year, it should be, and I say okay, because you could have a terrible month or a terrible year, and that will be nowhere near enough. It might be one specialist visit if you have to have a specialized scan, etc. So there are things that you need to be aware of that will come up and you need insurance for, whether it's a primary care insurance or a top-up insurance. These things need to be discussed with your healthcare advisor, the professionals that do this for a living every day, to listen to this particular chap and find out what it is his family needs, and then to give him guidance, because it may not be necessary that he puts 1,000 Rand away. Mm. He may need to buy a primary care product or a top-up plan in addition to his medical aid, as rather than just putting money into a special account.
Jill, running out of time, but I'm going to give this listener one more shot at it, and it asks, it's essentially about rolling over. If you have savings over at the end of the year, does it get carried over into the next year? I know that my plan doesn't allow that, and if not, why not?
So medical schemes do carry over the savings from year to year. So the savings is literally your share of the savings account. There are very few medical aids that are out there that don't have this new generation type of setup where the savings account carries over year on year. So most plans have this new generation setup that carry over year on year. There are a few which are traditional medical aids still, which say for dentistry we will give you 3,000 Rand, for medicine we will give you 10,000 Rand, for blah, blah. And if you have only used 8, you don't carry over the 2 to next year. You know what I'm saying? So there are some traditional plans that don't carry over, but medical savings accounts carry over year on year as your contribution.
Jill Larkin, head of GTC Healthcare, really appreciate